All right. I'm conceding one thing and one thing only. This is True Blue. It's our Cubs postgame show. Harry Tynewitz, Andy Mazur, I'm Mark Carmen. I concede one thing only. The Cubs will not punch their ticket to the World Series at Wrigley Field. That is all I'm willing to concede tonight. It is a gross feeling. It's a nauseating feeling. John Lackey giving up a three-run homer to Justin Turner in the ninth inning, and the Dodgers win 4-1. Long way to go in this series, but the Cubs better figure it out super quick. I think that's where we're at, and they got to get there. However they're going to hit the Dodgers bullpen, the sooner the better they figure it out, then they can actually have a chance in the series.
They're making this look like a Hall of Fame bullpen. It's a bunch of retreads. Guys that are feeling good about themselves right now because Dave Roberts is actually putting them in positions to succeed. Interesting philosophy.
See, I thought that Madden had a good night tonight. I thought when he took Lester out, he was done. I thought that, and CJ, I think he needed to be in a less high leverage situation, even though it was pretty high leverage at that point, obviously in a playoff game. And then, okay, Strope came on and did well, and Dunsing pitched fine. Well. And then he kicked it with Lackey. Because he went with experience. That clearly he wanted the experience, and he was saving Wade if they got the lead.
He has no experience in pitching back-to-back games ever in his career.
That's true.
And Rondon makes a living coming out of the bullpen in those tough situations.
Right,
it was Rondon's ball to have. If you're not bringing in Wade Davis, it was Rondon's ball to have. I also can't – it's hard for me to just sit back and think. The Dodgers are missing their best player, possibly one of their two. If Turner is their best player, Seager's their second best player. Maybe Seager's their best player. And two games without Seager, with a guy who's got 15 games playing shortstop for the Dodgers, and the Cubs are down 0-2.
They are, and I don't know if we want to put it on a little bit of a letdown after beating the Nationals, the travel, the stop in Albuquerque, time zone.
Nope, everybody does it.
They're not hitting.
Well,
they haven't been hitting all playoffs.
They have not hit all playoffs.
That's the worst part of the whole thing.
They had that one game. They had that one game in Washington where they got nine runs.
And that game they went 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. They hit 180 in the series. It's true, they're not hitting. And I got to tell you, if I am Joe Maddon, I am thinking about against Yu Darvish, perhaps Alex Avila. You want to catch one game because Wilson Contreras, I love him, but zero adjustments. Fastball up, swing. Fastball up, swing. Fastball up, swing. 0-0 count. Ball in the dirt, swing. Come on, man, you're better than this. Maybe you need to send a little bit of a message. I wouldn't mind to see what a veteran would do.
You could certainly, Avila's got a ton of experience in the playoffs. You could certainly make that move, but I think with Contreras and Baez, they're very similar. Baez hasn't had a hit yet, 0-for-18 in the playoffs.
That's another
guy. Their defense is so spectacular. Baez overran a ball today, playing like basically up the middle, playing short center field, overran a ball, came back, and it was called fair. It would have been like a double if it had dropped.
Yeah, and that play, by the way, should have been caught by the guy that can't be out of the lineup because he's just so good in right field. That's the right fielder's ball all day long. Jason Heyward should have been camped on that ball if he's playing right field. Great right fielder, you're standing there. Get out of my way. Instead, Baez made an incredible play, for the record.
So, I mean, I'm going back with Baez. I'm going back with Contreras. But if he wants to mix it up with Avila, I don't have a problem with that. I do, Andy, I agree with you. I have a problem with him bringing in John Lackey.
It's just, this is where that seven-out save comes back to bite you in the rear end. Because it has to be a situation, you've got 41 and 71 both warming up in the bullpen. And you go with Lackey, who, again, has never pitched in back-to-back games in his career.
Yeah, and maybe you go with Lackey for one batter. He walks him. Okay, now we got Justin Turner, who's been tough all series long. Maybe that's the point where you pulled the trigger. He's looking at a situation, and that's the other thing, too. It doesn't make sense. You go with Wade, you ride Wade for an inning in the third, and then if you're still in it, then John Lackey goes as long as he possibly can.
Because you got an off day tomorrow.
Right. Right.
It's really frustrating. Now, I'm still in the belief that the Cubs are going to win this series. What the Cubs do is they find a way to win. They are resilient. They are a bunch of tough you-know-whats, and they will come back and they will win. But it's going to be – what the Cubs have done all year is they've taken walks and they've gotten big hits and they've hit the long ball. And the Dodgers are out long-balling them this series. And it's only two games, but – They're halfway there, and we're in need of four wins in five games.
Let's get Joe Madden in here, 312-981-7200, if you want to wait in line to get on the air.
I really just needed him for the save. We needed him for the save tonight. There was limited. He had limited pitches. It was one inning only. In these circumstances, you don't get him up and then don't get him in. So if we had caught the lead, he would have pitched. That's it.
Third row, center.
Joe, letting Almora hit against Jansen, you haven't really let him hit against righties, and it's one of the tougher ones in the league. What was the thought process there?
He's among all of our guys, he's the guy that makes contact, regardless of, you know, it might not be a high average sometimes against the righty, but I thought he had a better chance of making contact. If you look the way he pitches, and again, if you dig deeper, our lefties were really not a good matchup, I didn't think, for him at that point. I thought he would move the baseball, and he did.
Same over to the right.
Yes, sir. Why Lackey in that spot?
Because he was going to pitch the next inning, too, and two righties coming up right there. I liked him a lot on the first guy, Taylor. Once that walk occurred, then you know, all bets are off against Turner. Nobody's a really great matchup against Turner, so it just did not work out. I liked him against the first guy.
Back to the center there.
Joe, the approach against the bullpen in general, are you happy with it? Is it? I mean, obviously the results you're not happy with, but
we scored one run today. That's the issue. We've scored 11 runs in six games during the playoffs. We had, like I said, 5 with 10 and 1 with 9, and now it's 6 with 11. So we just have to become more offensive. It was a great game. I thought our defense was outstanding. We played great defense all over the field. Really entertaining game. They got us in the end. That just happens sometimes. I thought the defense was great. I thought Johnny Lester, we hung with it as long as we could. That's part of the issue there. I mean, just if we had gotten Johnny deeper into that game, then the bullpen usage can be different. But was it 4 2/3, and then you're pressed with these other guys sooner, and that makes the end of the game tougher.
Staying right there.
Is a guy like Lackey, who's a starter, is that kind of the risk you take in terms of the first batter? There might not have the command right away, and I mean the walk was the
right. It was the big play, but I'm just betting on his experience right there as much as anything. I know that he went out there and wanted and tried to make the pitches that he wanted to make. I knew that the crowd would not affect him, and it didn't. I mean, he just, you know, the first walk, he just kept trying to get Taylor to chase. Once he got to two strikes and he didn't chase, to the hitter's credit. And then I didn't see the last pitch to Turner, but obviously it was pretty good. But I really thought that John would not be affected by the moment.
Last row to the right.
Yes,
Joe in the back. With Carl, mission accomplished for him.
Yep.
The cameras caught you kind of giving him a message.
Yep.
In the dugout after. What was the message?
You know, pretty much that's you right there, brother. You know, you can do that. You know you can do that. You got four outs, I believe, and hopefully that's going to pick him up for the rest of the series. But that's what we've seen on a more consistent basis this past season. The outliers have been what you saw in Washington, where the performance wasn't as good. But for the most part, what you saw tonight came out like 96, 97, 98. Second inning, maybe down to 96, but made some really good pitches.
Hey, Joe.
Zander back to the left.
Joe.
I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Hey,
does a loss like this sting more than a quote-unquote normal loss?
It's a loss. The biggest, I mean, you could always come back to the ninth inning and point out the guy hit a home run, but we got to do better than one run. We just got to do better than that. We, offensively, we've kind of been stifled. We're pretty fortunate to be in this position right now based on the number of runs we scored over the last week. So we have to do a better job at the plate. Like I said, to the starter, we got to get the starter more deeply into the game to really permit the way you want to use your bullpen.
Third row to the right here.
You've relied on your experience throughout this whole postseason. It's one of your strengths. How about now, losing this team in this manner, going back home?
I know we'll be fine. I know we'll, you know, get a good day's rest tomorrow. We'll come out and play our game on Tuesday. We got Kyle going, which is good for us. They have a good pitcher also. But listen, we lost two tough games here, with very difficult games. I thought we represented ourselves well. Again, today, typically, I loved the defense. I thought it was outstanding. We just did not get the hits, and that's been pretty much the motif this entire postseason. We've had one really good offensive game, and even in that game, a lot of the runs were scored in awkward ways. We just got to start hitting more consistently.
Anything else for Joe?
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, wait, hang on a little bit more, Joe.
Wade was only available for one inning.
Yeah.
If that had not been true, would he have been in the ninth inning, or are you holding off for the save situation?
No, I don't necessarily hold off for the save. I mean, in the situation tonight coming off of his last performance, the other thing you have to consider is this. Understand, when you have a guy like that and coming off the performance that he had, to warm him up and then not use him is equally as bad. Like, another warm him up, not put him in a game, and then ask him to pitch maybe two innings later. That's really not good form. So today, tonight, I really was waiting for that opportunity to grab a lead and then throw him out there. That's what it was all about. There was no way he was pitching more than one, and that was pretty much it.
Up front in the center?
Yes.
Joe, what's different about this Dodger team opposed to last season?
And not a whole lot for me. You know, you saw two really closely contested games. I think the difference is we're not – if you remember last year, we didn't score any runs early on against the Dodgers. Then we did, and then we finally got them. I think for more than anything, they're very similar to in my mind's eye. It's just that us, we have to get our offense going.
Anything else?
Joe Maddon.
Yes, I have a question, Joe. Wasn't Wade Davis warming up right alongside John Lackey?
He was warming up, but what an entertaining game.
A great defense, because you can catch the balls that go over the wall.
Thanks to NBC Sports Chicago for the press conference.
It's frustrating, guys.
Well, what he just said there is off.
Completely off.
He's saying that I can't get Wade up, sit him back down, get him back up.
But he did.
And I agree with you, Joe. You can't. But if that's how you're looking at it, then once you get him up, he's going in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And however long you think he can go, that's it. If it's only one inning because you pitched him in Game 5, I'm not going to kill him for that because they needed to win the game. Although he did manage that game poorly, that's fine. But it doesn't make any sense. You get him up, he goes in the game.
Bottom line is this. You put John Lackey in a situation that he's never done before.
Ever.
Okay? You go ahead and you put in your closer to keep this game tied. Clean inning. Fine. Bring Lackey in for the 10th. I have no problem with that whatsoever because he can extend himself. He can go two or three. So you're pitching, you got your pitching covered through the 12th inning.
You know, and
but you got to get there.
He was trying to have his cake and eat it too. We're going to get the lead, then we're going to put him in. If he had just stuck with that, I would have been like, okay, that's how he was looking at it. But he didn't say that. He said, once I got him up, I have to put him in. But he didn't put him in.
But he didn't do it.
That doesn't make any sense.
He can control the pitching. He mentioned four times in the short time we were listening to him that they aren't scoring, which is, yeah, you're not. Duh, we're not scoring. The Cubs need to get some runs. Can't win with one run unless you're perfect on the hill. He can control the pitching. This is the second year in a row that Joe Maddon has done a spectacular job in the regular season, and he does things in the postseason with the bullpen, with the pitchers he brings in, that has a lot of, you know, fairly bright Cub fans banging their heads against the wall.
Again, I'm only conceding the fact that the Cubs are not going to clinch and go to the World Series at home. The series is not over. I refuse to say it's over. You can if you'd like to, 312-981-7200, but we would appreciate some positivity on the old True Blue tonight with you till midnight. Let's pick up John Lackey.
Justin Turner, you know, a bunch of times. He's obviously a good hitter, and that's the next good pitch.
John, the fact that you guys have battled back in series before and in big games down the stretch, does that help going into Tuesday night?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of experience in this room. I mean, it's not ideal being down 2-0, but, you know, good chance for them.
John, you know, two-seam action. Are you trying to keep it away, or are you trying to run it in on a little bit?
Yeah. I'll talk to my pitching coach about that.
John, what was the discussion like back there? Did you know when you were going in, when to get ready, all that, in comparison to, like, maybe Wade or someone else?
No. I mean, you know, the bullpen, just whenever you age call it, try to do something.
There was a time during this the stint that you were out there that you and Wilson had to keep communicating back and forth. What was going on with all of that?
Yeah, well, we had a little trouble getting on the same pitch, you know, what pitch I wanted to throw. But it happens sometimes.
As a guy who's a veteran in that situation, you control that situation, not the catcher, correct?
Correct, yeah. Every pitch I throw is on me.
Is there anything you're seeing from the offense right now? I mean, I know that's not your side of everything, but, I mean, they're going to sit here and tell us tonight they got to put up more than one run for you guys. But, I mean, are you seeing anything with their approach at the plate that could be better?
Yeah, I'll stay in my lane on that one.
Okay.
Sean Lackey.
Staying in his lane.
Boy, Jim Rose, I like it. Why were you and Wilson talking twice?
It's a fair question.
It is a fair question, and it's on you, right? Yeah, he seemed a little perturbed, Lackey, but he took the blame, and here we are, down 0-2, and when they go to L.A. on Saturday, they'll be up 3-2.
Lackey, courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. Thank you.
Do you guys believe in coincidence and those kind of things? Or are you guys numbers guys at all?
Are you going to bring up a certain game that took place on this night?
This night, 1988, Kirk Gibson's home run off of Dennis Eckersley.
Is that right? It was already the World Series at that point?
World Series game one.
I thought you were going to bring up 2003.
Well, I could have brought that up, too, but I think I would rather stay with the Dodgers theme rather than the
good. Than
Cubs
the Cubs
theme.
Losing a horrible game
exactly.
They should have won.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's get back to a quick little timeout here, and we'll bring you more from Dodger Stadium as the Cubs do go down 4-1 to L.A. They trail 2-0 in the series. Game 3, Tuesday night at Wrigley, 8 o'clock, your first pitch. All right, back out to Dodger Stadium, and John Lester meeting the media.
We were able to get semi deep in the game, but at the end of the day, you look up on a ground ball that just gets through, it's tied 1-1. So wasn't great, but still only 1-1.
Was that a result perhaps of having pitched those 3.5 innings on Wednesday?
No,
not at all.
You were grinding out there, as you said, but did you have thought that of the 3 hits, you'd have one of them? You had Russell's home run. I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, three hits in the game.
It's playoff baseball, Rich Hill's pretty darn good. Their bullpen obviously speaks for themselves. Rich was pretty much cruising, gave up the one hard hit ball, and goes through 5, and, you look at the bullpen, so you're dealing with them. So the game has definitely changed. I would have thought that Rich would have had, a couple more innings there. But, like I said, the game's definitely changed on that aspect of it. But, they got a good bullpen. So, you look up in the fifth, sixth, it's 1-1. Give our guys a chance. That's all you can really do in playoff baseball is give your guys a chance.
You've been through a lot of playoff years, ups and downs. When they lose 1-1 like this, what's that do to a team?
Nothing. We had a long ways to go. That wasn't the clinching game. So we'll show up on Tuesday ready to go. We'll be at home where we've played really, really good baseball all year. It'd be nice to get Kyle back out there and give us a good start. And we'll go from there. That's all we can do is just worry about one game at a time now. It's the old cliche of that. And, I hate saying cliches, but, it is what it is. And that's all we can do. Show up Tuesday, ready to play.
How bad do you feel for life in that situation?
I feel bad for our guys. Yeah. You don't ever want to be that guy that's left out there. I'm sure a bad feeling. I'm fortunate enough I haven't been that guy. He's a competitor. Hopefully we get that opportunity again. Like I said the other night with CJ and our other bullpen guys, hopefully they get the opportunity again, and that's all you can really ask for. And next time the tides will change.
Your bullpen was good tonight, though, other than that walk up here.
Yeah, our bullpen was great. He was good, I felt like he made some really good pitches that the guys laid off of. They're a good team. They've had a good approach these last two games against our pitchers. So, we'll go back. We'll take the off day, and if there's adjustments to be made, we'll make those adjustments on Tuesday. But, sometimes you got to lay your marbles out there and you get beat. So, we did that, and it was a well-played game on both sides. Like I said, sometimes you get beat.
Turner's one of those guys in October. He just kind of he can really catch on. He's a loadout.
Yeah, that's really everybody. Yeah, he had some good at-bats tonight. He's a good player. He's been a good player for a while. Their whole team's full of good players. So it could have been anybody that did that. So, You know, you don't, I don't really pay attention to the name that's up there. You know, you try to go to a scouting report and rely on your stuff and execute pitches. And, you know, a lot of times you're able to get those guys out. So he put a good swing on the ball and ended up hitting it up.
John Lester speaking, courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. I'll tell you one thing. I mean, he struggled to get through five. He made it 4 2/3 through 103 pitches, but that guy gives you the gutsiest performance every single time he's out there. You really got to appreciate John Lester, even though he didn't make it particularly deep tonight.
I just like the attitude. I mean, this is a guy that is obviously a leader on your club and a pitching staff, and just saying, hey, listen, it wasn't the clinching game. He's right. I mean, it wasn't the clinching game, but it does make it a lot tougher.
He also, I mean, boy, these guys, I mean, this stuff is great to me. The stuff in the, you know, in the clubhouse afterwards, you know, it's like, hey, you know, Lackey, I've never been in that position.
Mm-hmm.
What a nice reach around and slap in the face to his best friend.
Well, right. I mean, I don't think he meant anything by that, but
just being factual.
That is a fact. Well, I mean, Lackey tonight was called on after pitching yesterday to save the game in the ninth inning, needed to get one out, couldn't do it. One hit, two runs, two earned, walked one, threw eight pitches, which seemed like 80.
Way too careful with the center fielder, Taylor.
You've got
Turner coming up. Turner is their most lethal hitter. You cannot worry about Taylor over Turner.
Well, right. He's being super careful, though, because there's a runner out in second base, and he's just, you know, the game's on the line, so. All right, 312-981-7200. Quick timeout. We'll get you into news. We're here till midnight. We are building a bridge to the greatest comeback in 2017 history because they won three in a row last year, so I don't want to say that. 312-981-7200. Feel free. Call in, text in. We could use your support. I'm not going to lie. 720 WGN. The Never Say Die True Blue Cubs postgame show. Don't care. Ain't going to be easy, but Mazer, you requested this one.
Chumbawamba. Let's go back to 1997 for their great and only hit, Tub Thumping.
We've been here before.
Our house can't be far away.
Last year, I think we played Tub Thumping. And then they won three in a row. Now, this is a little different.
Yeah.
We're not in the World Series for one. These are the Dodgers and not the Indians, too.
It's not an elimination game. Three.
That, too. Let's state the obvious. They must win on Tuesday. I think we need to win on Tuesday.
Yeah. And they have to take walks. And they have to get home runs. And their bullpen can't be noticeably scaring the hell out of everybody, which they're doing.
The bullpen tonight was very good, outside of John Lackey.
There's two kinds of Cubs fans. Mm-hmm. There's the kind like me that are just delusional, that live a lie, that think, hey, doesn't matter what happened last time, everything's going to be great.
That's
and,
you.
Yeah, then there's the kind that wait for the other cleat to drop.
Yep.
We'll never make it. Carl Edwards Jr., who I love, since they got him in the Garza trade with Texas, he came in today, and I was like scared to death. Oh, no, not Carl Edwards Jr. And pitched very well.
His body language was totally different.
Yeah.
He looked super confident and super motivated. And even when Madden was talking to him in the dugout, he didn't look satisfied. Like, that guy's still pissed at how he's... That was a big move for Carl Edwards. The curveball looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. And he knew where that fastball was going.
Oh, he set Puig for that curveball.
Oh, it was so beautiful.
With all those high fastballs. And they had the nice tight shot of Contreras putting down the two fingers, and I'm like, this is exactly what you do.
Throw him the deuce.
So Kyle Hendricks was fantastic the second half of the season. Last year he led the league in lowest ERA. I don't have to say lowest. He just led the league in ERA. And he's going against Yu Darvish. So which Kyle Hendricks are you going to see? You going to see the one that got knocked around in the second inning against Washington?
Let's bring in Anthony Rizzo at Dodger Stadium.
What can you do about it?
You only scored on.
How's your hand?
It's good. Yeah, it's good. Thank you.
You've only scored. The offense only scored on a couple of swings. What can you guys do to generate a little more?
Pearson out at Dodger Stadium.
get on base more. Just keep it going. You know, it's contagious, so you just got to keep grinding. That's all. As a unit, we got to keep grinding.
You guys have won all over the place with the deck going home to Wrigley for the next three. How does that help, if at all?
Yeah, we got to, you know, really got to win this next one, find a way anywhere possible just to grind out that win. This game three will be, this is the biggest game for us. I know we they got to win two more, but we really got to find a way to win on Tuesday.
What's made your pitching so tough, Anthony?
They're good. They're a good team. They're here by no surprise. I didn't surprise anyone to sneak up here. They're a good team, and they play well together. Yeah, it's not fun, but it's a tough loss, but it's a loss at the end of the day. After that initial, you get off the field, it's still a loss. Whether it happened, if three run happened in the third inning or the ninth inning, you know, you get over it pretty quick, and you have to. In the postseason, it's got to be a quick memory.
Anthony, do you sense anything different with that club last year compared to this year?
They're confident. They were confident last year. Just timely hitting. They're good. They got depth and good veterans, and it's good baseball.
I like courtesy of NBC, or Rizzo courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. So, listen, it's kind of painful to hear them say they're good, but that's just the reality. They're a good team. They won 104 games. They swept the Diamondbacks. They've been the best team in baseball. They had a stretch where they went 52-9.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to beat the best team in baseball, highly motivated, and you're also in the middle of a three-year stretch where you've played a ton of games and you beat them last year. I mean, they have every bit of motivation over there. Now, that being said, I don't think the Cubs want this to end, and they've led in game one. They led in game two. Their lineup is good, but it doesn't scare the living bejesus out of you. It really doesn't. Does it to you guys?
No, especially with Seager out, no.
I mean, I don't look at their lineup like it's like, oh my God, oh no, it's Justin Turner. Good hitter.
He's fantastic. That guy is underrated. That guy is a superb hitter.
Fine. Turner and Bellinger, but okay, who else really scares you? Yasiel Puig is hot right now, but okay, fine. Like Barnes, Forsyth, Taylor at the top. This is not... They've held them down. Mm-hmm. That hasn't been the problem. They got a hit. And I like that Madden's putting it out there very succinctly. We got a hit. I mean, you guys, their approach has to get better.
Okay, what do you do about it?
That's a good question. Let's hear from Chris Bryan. He's one of the guys who's got to do something about it.
Anytime you have a guy that throws 100 in your bullpen, that's a nice weapon.
Chris, the fact that you guys overcame this team last year down 2-1 and 3-1 to the Indians in the series, does the fact that you've done it and prevailed, does that help you going forward?
Yeah, I think we've all said that throughout the whole year, how we draw on our past successes to help us get through our current failures.
Chris, what can you guys do to try and generate some more offense?
What's going on with you?
You know, that's the toughest part in the postseason is to really string together some hits. It kind of seems like, you know, the home run is winning games, obviously it did today. And I think that's kind of been the whole way, the whole playoffs. I mean, so go out there and try to hit some more home runs.
Is it something that is worth the change in your approach? Or is it that you keep with what you've done and you just have to execute better?
I think the biggest thing is not to press. Don't really, like I said before, don't try any harder. It's just sometimes things aren't going to go your way up at the plate. It's the hardest thing to do in sports, hit a baseball, especially when you have some pitchers like that on the other side. But, I think if we can string together some hits here and there, put in a nice run, maybe take our walks more, be a little more patient, things will start to turn.
You guys got the last at-bats, obviously, come Tuesday, Wednesday, and hopefully Thursday as well. And you know they'll be loud there. How much could that potentially help you guys?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, home field advantage is big in the playoffs. It certainly helped them out today. you know, obviously you feel more comfortable playing at your home ballpark. So that will be nice. So we expect our fans to be nice and loud.
During the season, do you find you and Anthony kind of feed off each other now that you're both also struggling? Is it fair and based on tough during the season, do you kind of feed off each other?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice little support. I'd call him a support system in here for me. I mean, I lean on him when I don't feel right, and he does the same for me. So, yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes throughout the year your brain is just completely mushed and things don't go the way you want them to, but he's been a nice pick-me-up here and there for me, and hopefully I'm the same for him.
Anthony just said you got to win game three. What's the mentality of the team when you go home for that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a must-win to kind of go out there and, you know, change the momentum a little bit, so it'll be exciting. I mean, Kyle usually pitches pretty good for us. I mean, like I said before, no emotion. You know, he's not going to, you know, put any more pressure on himself to go out there and do good. So it's nice to have him on the mound. So I think it's a must win.
Anthony was asked whether you guys look to each other to get this vote, and he said that would be selfish. It's all of us. How do you feel about that? You know, people are looking at Cruz over Bryant.
Yeah, of course.
That would be selfish.
Of course, totally selfish. You know, it takes nine people to win a game. It's not just one or two guys. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes that's how it's looked at. So, you know, but I hate looking at it that way. I hate being or feeling like a selfish player, and never felt like that ever. So, yeah, it takes all of us.
Chris Bryant, courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. Thoughts, team? A little bit more patient, a little bit more walks would, I think that would be a good start as far as the way I'm seeing it.
Well, let's talk about this lineup real quick and what you can do to maybe infuse a little bit of life into it.
Okay.
Where has Alex Avila been?
We put it out there earlier tonight. I wouldn't mind seeing him in there.
Why can't Wilson Contreras play left field, which has been like a hole at this point, you know, for any kind of offense? If you're not going to play Schwarber, and you're not going to play Ian Happ for some reason.
Well, I really think the strongest, even though Avila's got the experience in many, many postseason games.
He can
games
throw a little
Tigers,
bit, too.
He can throw, but, I mean, Wilson Contreras is dynamite behind the plate. I mean, I think he could be like the fourth Molina brother. I think Zobrist, and you guys probably agree with me, Zobrist is best when he can bat lefty. So that's why Zobrist really hasn't started the first two games of this series. I don't know why Ian Happ's not in there. Ian Happ didn't come up till May, and he had 24 homers. Ian Happ is fast.
He's really fast.
Yeah, and he can field. He's a smart hitter. He's savvy. I'm looking at Bellinger, and they're saying, oh, he's by far the best player to come up in the National League. And I'm thinking, you know, he's going to win him Rookie of the Year, but Ian Happ's not far away from Bellinger. And I'd rather have Happ on my team for the years to come than Bellinger.
But we can talk all we want about these other guys coming into the lineup, but until the guy we just heard from, Chris Bryant, starts to hit the ball a little bit, it's a lost cause.
He's got to get going. There's no doubt. Him and Rizzo, and the ball off Rizzo took a pitch from Kenley Jansen
right off the right hand.
Off the right hand tonight. You didn't want that. He said he was fine. He said, thanks for asking. But there's no way that thing's not swelled up. I mean, he's got until Tuesday for it to calm down, but that's not exactly what you want either.
The Cubs, so patient at the plate this year, and they get a lot of walks. Tonight, one walk. And by the unlikeliest of walkers.
If Javi Baez gets a hit, who you're talking about right now, if he gets a hit on Tuesday night, there should be a standing ovation. He hasn't had a hit in, I mean, you're going all the way back deep into last year at this point.
Last hit he had was the home run against Kluber.
Oh, against Kluber, right. It's been a while, so Javi's got to get going. All right, 312-981-7200. Dodgers beat the Cubs 4-1. Justin Turner, a three-run homer with two outs in the ninth inning. As the Cubbies are coming home for Tuesday night, we will do a quick timeout talk to you. 312-981-7200. True Blue, till midnight on 720 WGN. All right, then. No problem. It's like a roller coaster in the studio. I feel like they're going to get swept. All they got to do is win one game. Get the momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. What did Joe Maddon say about Wade Davis?
Well, here's the deal. You know, we heard from him live from L.A. But Sahad of Sharma does some nice work for The Athletic.
By the way, this is 720 WGN. That's Andy Mazur talking. Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen with you till midnight. Go ahead.
So, you know, we heard the Joe Maddon quote was because I really just needed, and we're talking about Wade Davis, because I really just needed him for the saves tonight. He had limited pitches. It was one inning only, and in these circumstances, you don't get him up and then don't get him in. So if we had the lead, he would have pitched. That's it. So, you know, we take that as to say, listen, he was up. Why didn't he come in? And Zahadov writes on Twitter tonight that says, this was clarified to me that Davis was unavailable outside of a save situation, which is odd, but what was decided?
Well, there's a couple of things that is very odd about that. Number one, it's concerning that, hey, you know, that was Thursday night. We're at Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means to me that his arm is a little
shaky. It's not responding, yeah.
Right, right. So now he's got till Tuesday, but that's not great. You would think he'd be fine to go in any circumstance right now. Secondly, if that is the case, you're not in a save situation. It's not like the Cubs were batting. The Dodgers were at the plate. Why is he up?
Yeah.
It doesn't add up.
You wait till you take a lead, and then you have Wade Davis go to the bullpen hill.
Yeah, well...
Carpenter, I'm going to lay out a reason why Cub fans should feel very confident that they are going to still win the series. When we get back after the top of the hour break, after the news, the weather, the traffic, we are going to understand why this thing is so not over.
That alone would make me stick around through like a 20-minute break, and this is only going to be like, I don't know, like 3 minutes.
I have evidence, man.
Okay.
I have evidence.
All right, 312-981.
Stack of papers.
312-981-7200. Mm-hmm. Harry's got evidence, 720 WGN.
And Turner in the air to center field. That ball's hit well. Martinez on the run. This is way back. It is a walk-off home run for Justin Turner.
That was Brian Anderson, courtesy of TBS. Just to give a little window in what it was like in here, we weren't sure when we were going on tonight because we were going to wait, obviously, till the game's over. And
well, when John Lackey came in, I had a pretty good idea what time we were going on.
Yeah, well... Producer Lee's like, are you guys starting at 10? I look up at the TV screen and the ball is flying to Mars. Yes, we'll be starting at 10. We'll be starting at 10.
Out toward the San Gabriel mountain range.
If Chris Berman were calling the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that one's heading to Tijuana.
By the old Union 76 gas station out there in center field.
Well, it's a good thing that Kevin Powell was able to get on his red-eye flight just in the nick of time. KP! Welcome to True Blue, sir, out at Dodger Stadium. How are you?
I'm okay. Just walked out of the Cubs clubhouse, talked to John Lackey, John Lester, Rizzo, all your big hitters. They were preaching that they're not heartbroken. It's just a loss. You know, your stereotypical comments after something like this. But to me, this one just feels a little different because I do think this Cubs team can weather any storm. But this one really stings. And, guys, they're losing the bullpen battle right now. That's pretty obvious. And it's pretty clear not only that the Dodgers have a better bullpen, but they're obviously much fresher than the Cubs bullpen. The Cubs bullpen is toast. I mean, they were worn out from back in September, you know, pitching in some high-leverage moments when this thing got a little close to division race. And then last series, going 5 with Washington and the way they did, that series went down compared to what the Dodgers did, which was a 3-game sweep, has worked to Los Angeles' advantage big time.
You're absolutely right, KP. And
KP, just for the record, we're building a bridge to 4 in a row and winning the World Series. You're killing me right now, but you.
I'm sorry. Well, like, I'm not. Oh, but not by no means am I counting the Cubs out right now. I still think this thing's coming back to LA.
First thing KP said. First thing he said was, you know, hey, they're a little down, but it's the usual swagger and confidence. I heard him.
Well,
I was listening.
I also heard him, and I think it's true that the bullpen has pitched a lot and might be running out of gas. Although they did pitch well tonight, minus John Lackey.
They did pitch well, and I don't know, have you guys addressed the bringing in Lackey there instead of Davis or even leaving Dunsing in?
We have, but why don't you tell us what you know, because you were in the clubhouse.
Well, that was the first question Joe Maddon was asked, and he said he wanted to save Davis for a save opportunity. And when I read stuff like that from Maddon, it's just so un-Maddon-like, because Maddon plays pitch-to-pitch, out-to-out, inning-to-inning. to say you want to save Davis for a save opportunity, you got to be winning to have a save opportunity. You got to get to the next inning in the first. When Lackey walked Taylor, you just had a feeling that doom was coming. It just didn't feel right. I thought you should have either left Dunsing in there or bring Davis in. Madden says no. He says he really wanted Lackey. He was anticipating two innings from Lackey pitching the following inning in extras, and then ideally you bring in Davis for maybe a save situation down the road. But you got to live for another inning, right? I mean, you got to get Davis in there, who's pretty much a lock to get out of that jam. Where Lackey, you don't know. First time back-to-back, he's pitching in out of relief. So I disagreed with it. I thought you should either left Dunsing in there or brought in Davis.
We all agree with you.
Doom was coming, and it had a ZZ Top-like beard on its face.
A red one.
Right. KP, the Dodgers have allowed half the hits from their bullpen that the Cubs have, and their starters are much, much more rested. So Kyle Hendricks gave up 4 runs in the second his last time out in a very important game. Tell Cub fans why they shouldn't be worried that Kyle Hendricks is going to go back to his normal low ERA self Tuesday night.
Because he's Kyle Hendricks. I don't have anything real specific. He said his mechanics were a little off in that last his last outing where his velocity was down. He just didn't look all that sharp. But that's why Hendricks does what he does, because he does rely on mechanics. He doesn't rely on raw stuff. So, you know, I'm sure he's studied film. I'm sure he watched his start. I'm sure he's talked to Bazio and kind of broken down the mechanics a little bit. So, he's a technician, as Joe Madden likes to refer to him. So if you want me to tell Cub fans why I think he'll give you a good outing, it's because he's Kyle Hendricks. And he'll figure out his mechanics. He'll have plenty of time to get the mechanics straightened out before he takes them out.
We were carrying most of the post game here, KP, following NBC Sports Chicago around in the clubhouse. Great job with your mic placement, by the way. To me, it sounded like the energy. I mean, you're not going to be jumping up and down after you lose game two and game one, but it just seemed like there's a little bit of a resignation as to how good that Dodgers bullpen is for sure.
Yeah, I think that. Well, the Dodgers bullpen hasn't let up one hit, or not even a hit, in 8 innings of work over the first 2 games. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think the only batter they've allowed on base is Rizzo, who got hit on the hand. It wasn't even a base hit. So, they acknowledge that they're a very, very good bullpen. Rizzo did stress the obvious. You got to get game 3. I mean, you have to. And, Lackey and Lester, who are, and I've said this before, that Rizzo is the face of the team. He is the heart of the team. But the guys like Lackey and Lester and Arrieta, those, everyone listens when they talk. So when they do talk to us, it's very calculated. They know they have to be the leaders. I will say that John Lackey I always felt bad for him, guys. I never thought I could feel bad for John Lackey, considering how his relationship is with the media. But you could tell he was genuinely devastated. The guy, I know he has a certain, people have viewpoints on John Lackey, but the players in the clubhouse and the team absolutely love John Lackey. Like, he's a leader for that team. The younger guys look up to John Lackey. That could be potentially his last game he ever pitches.
Yep.
Potentially. And John Lackey's had a great career. I mean, he looked really, really upset today, a little more than I've seen him after just any other loss like that. You know, he let the team down, and of course everybody, you know, gave him some port and things like that. But I've never seen John Lackey that, not even like angry John Lackey. He was genuinely upset about what happened.
Any hints as to what might be a lineup coming up against Yu Darvish on Tuesday? Obviously, they're not hitting the ball. They're not scoring any runs.
Yeah, I haven't thought that far ahead about what exactly Maddox could roll out there, but they're not generating walks, guys. They drew one walk today. The Dodgers drew 8 walks tonight, and these two teams were 1-2 with walks in the regular season. They've got to get back to that. They're falling behind in counts. They're not putting good at-bats together. The 1-5 in the lineup tonight was 1-19, something like that. So, you know, those are your Bryants and your Rizzos and the core of that team. So they just got to put better at bats again. We've seen this from this lineup before, and Joe Madden talked about it in pregame. When they, you know, the way Joe Madden phrases it, he says he wants his guys to stay centered and work the ball to the opposite field and work up the middle of the field. They're all trying to pull right now, and we've seen them go in slumps before when they get in this mode. So, you know, at any point, this offense is contagious. A couple guys start hitting, and good things can happen. But, yeah, they've got to put better at-bats together for sure. No question.
KP, you're absolutely right. 1-5 in the Cub lineup, 1-19.
Is that good?
A John Jay hit. No, that's not good. So last question. I could either ask you about did Ian Happ steal the Cousin Eddie and that's why he's not playing, or were there any cool celebrity sightings? Which question would you like to field?
Well, I will say this, guys. Actually, yesterday I talked to Larry King for a little bit. He was.
Did he ask you to marry him?
He did, well, he did, and I turned him down, Harry. I know better. But he was enjoying a Dodger dog in the press box, so I talked to Larry King for a minute. And then where we enter the clubhouse, Andy, you know this. I don't know, Carmen, if you've been here, but where the media lines up is right near the entrance of the Lexus whatever club, which is all those blue seats you see near the field, which is all like the – celebrities and famous people here, but they all exit that area. So, you know, I've seen Steve Kerr before tonight. You know, all these Dodger fans are walking out of that area and they're all hooting and hollering and going wild. And all of a sudden I look, I go, I know that guy. He looks pissed off. I'm like, oh, it's Jeremy Piven. Longtime Chicago Cubs fan, Jeremy Piven, in a mob of Dodgers fans. He was, he looked very upset. He was not happy after this loss. So, there's a couple celebrity sightings for you, Harry.
Are they going to work out tomorrow, KP? Do you know the plan? By the
way, not really. I think this team just needs rest. It's going to be Madden, and I think Arrieta will be there with them, and that's it. I don't think they're really. Madden said they're pretty much doing nothing tomorrow. So a few guys might be at the park just to get, you know, treatment or something like that. But for the most part, it's pretty much a low-key thing at Wrigley tomorrow. We don't have the exact schedule when that will be. I'm sure Madden will talk to the media at some point in the afternoon. But this team, it's not an excuse. I know we talked about this last night too, but like, they've been traveling a lot. They've been playing a lot. They've been playing in some very tight games. And you wonder if some of that's kind of taking its toll on them. You know, that's just me sort of thinking out loud when I think about where they've been and sort of the games they've played over the past couple of weeks here. It's been a lot for them.
Yeah, no, I think that it is factoring in at least a drop, but the biggest thing is that maybe that Dodger bullpen. I don't know. We'll see. They have a chance to turn it around, but it's they got to do it on Tuesday. KP, you're the man. Appreciate all the work and all the help out there. Travel safe on back, and we'll see you at Wrigley on Tuesday.
All right, fellas, thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
Kevin Powell out in Los Angeles.
Dodger dog, way overrated, by the way.
They're so well. They're really overrated.
Terrible.
It's awful. Flat out awful.
And one of the worst things I've ever eaten.
And that stadium stinks. You have to have a seat on the level that you buy. Like, if you buy a ticket in the upper deck, you can't get down.
Yeah,
what type of malarkey is that? If I buy a seat in the upper deck and no one's sitting downstairs, part of being a human being, part of being an American, is sneaking down into the box seats. That is horrendous.
And there's an art to doing it. For you youngsters out there, fill your hands with food. And they're less likely to ask you for your ticket stub.
Right. There's a million ways to do it. Just walk in and act like you belong. You're on the cell phone, you're talking to Mays or whatever. Mm-hmm. Dodger Stadium, if you're in the fourth level, that's no way to respect your fans.
Nope.
I much prefer a dirty water dog outside Yankee Stadium to a Dodger dog.
Street meat.
Yeah.
Plus, there's no public transportation to get to that dump.
Oh, no.
At Fenway, at the single concession stand, you can get a hot dog, which is not on a bun. It's on two slices of bread that have not been cut all the way through, a cup of clam chowder, and a beer. Same stand.
At Fenway, too, they also started having actual beer vendors, which they didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time they pulled that off. And what I like about Fenway is you can walk out of the park in a little yawky way, hang out, go back in. Who knows? The Cubs may have something like that down the line. All right. Well, actually, they do, right?
I was going to say, it's called Park at Wrigley.
Yeah.
No, but they're going to have more. They're going to have the streets blocked off. Crane County's on.
They're going to own the entire neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Nobody will be going there to do anything but buy Cubs property. It's a brilliant move by them. All right. We will take a quick... Yes, Kerry? Yes?
We're missing something obvious that should give all Cub fans a huge, Red Bull of confidence.
In 3 minutes, we'll hear what that is. 720 WGN. I'd like you to get Sarkies in there. Sarkis? You ever had a nice omelet at a Sarkis?
Not far from my house, yeah. I used to go down to the kitchen and enjoy all kinds of fun things in a coffee mug.
A little Disaster, a little Loretta. Delicious. All right, Harry, you have been pumping this. Reasons for Cubs confidence, go.
All right, the Dodgers, a lot of people talked about how they could break the record this year. They were phenomenal. They were so far above 500. They were talking about this could be the greatest win season in the history of baseball. On September 2nd, the Dodgers embarked on a streak where they then lost 16 out of 17 games. Mm-hmm. People are saying, how are they ever going to win 4 out of 5 from this Dodgers team with all these great pitchers and this fantastic bullpen and Kenley Jansen closing? Guess what? They lost 16 out of 17. All the Cubs got to do is take 4 out of 5. And the Cubs, they're down to, you know, the Giants by 3. They rally. They're down in the series last year. The Dodgers 2-1. They rally down 3-1. Elimination game 3 times in the World Series. They rally. And they came back against the Nats and won, even though they were down 4-1. This is not that hard. This is doable. This isn't like, oh my God, I have to learn how to speak Japanese by Friday. This is the Cubs reaching back, remembering what's gotten them this far, and feeling it. This is the Cubs using the force.
All right, 312-981-7200. Let's get some positivity flowing here on 720 WGN. Reasons for optimism. Let's paint a picture of what it's going to look like on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Saturday, when they clinch in 6 or in 7 on Sunday. Paint a glorious picture. 312-981-7200. We'll bring the tape to Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, and company on Tuesday. Andy?
Bulletin board material, though.
Okay.
Steve Garvey.
Oh, yeah, this guy.
Tweeting today a picture of Justin Turner and also himself in a Padres uniform. They call us Cub Killers for a reason. Hashtag Cub Killer.
Okay, let's stop living in 1984 there, buddy.
Cowards and losers, my friend.
What is wrong with him? Is his life really that, you know?
He had to change out the Lego hair for another set.
It just, I mean, he's... Does he feel like he has to validate himself constantly?
Apparently.
He wants to, you know, like to get a little dig in at the old cubby.
Optimism. I see Kyle Hendricks going 7+ of two-hit baseball.
It's good reason.
CJ comes out of the pen, and then there's Wade, and everyone's going nuts. Wade.
He'll be very rested.
He will be.
I see Ben Zobrist batting left-handed for a full game against Yu Darvish and showing us why he is a clutch playoff performer.
I see Javi Baez getting his first playoff hit of 2017 and the crowd going nuts. Javi. Quick timeout. We'll go to news. 720 WGN.
Cubs have one hit in their last 32 plate appearances. And that one's hit well down the left field line. Is there enough? It is up, and it is gone! Addison Russell with a home run puts the Cubs on the board first.
Yep, that was in the fifth. Unfortunately, Justin Turner had a two-out little poke single to right to tie it in the bottom of the inning. And the Dodgers got three more in the ninth and took game 2. 4-1. Mark Harmon, Andy Mazur, Harry Tynowitz with you for about 20 more minutes or so as we take you up to the top of the hour. Carl Amari, Lisa Wolf will be here at that point for 2 spectacular hours of radio. Harry, you're looking at me with wanting eyes.
Well, I know you do a great job driving the show, and I know you wanted to promote True Blue with the three of us. And again, we'll be on after the Cubs win on Tuesday. You know, Yasiel Puig was hated by his teammates as recently as last year. Mm-hmm. He came from Cuba. He has this very cocky attitude because he's a phenomenal player. He has great strength. Have you ever seen his arms?
He's a very large man.
Yeah, he can do just about anything he wants. He can run through a wall. The Cubs will get back to doing, you know, things the way that the Cubs do things on Tuesday, and they're going to win. But here, Andy, I think is what we need to take into consideration, is that the Cubs really were lucky that the Dodgers didn't have a run earlier, because Turner, was knocking in a run. The Cubs should have been down 1-0 very early in this game, but the Dodgers third base coach, for some reason I still don't know, held the guy up going around third base with two outs.
No, he would have been – well, okay.
That throw was bad.
It's a must-send with two outs.
He held him. What I'm saying is the Dodgers are not as confident that they're going to win as the Dodger fans are.
Well, Almora did have a bad throw, but if he the way he played it, the ball didn't end up going all the way to the wall. It was a nice job by him, so that's why he held him. If the ball goes to the wall, he's going to send him. But if you're right, though, I guess if he had sent him, he would have scored.
Two outs, must send.
Okay. You got to send a guy with two dead.
Okay, that's fine. We also left a runner at third with one out with John Jay at the plate, who swung at ball four up in the zone. Chris Bryant then striking out, and KB's just off. Ball's in the zone, taking him. Ball's out of the zone, swinging. Not sounding confident in the postgame show either. Mm-hmm. Not looking like himself. And he's been through these funks before, he'll get out of it, but right now he's in one. So whatever that looks like as far as him extricating himself from the old swing and miss at everything right now, he's got to do it.
You know, you can say anything you want about the bullpen. You can say anything you want about the moves that Joe Maddon made tonight, again, which I still completely disagree with. This team is nothing without its offense. And the bullpen's a non-issue if you have a six-run lead. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can put in anybody at that point.
What happened to all those double-digit run games the Cubs had this year?
What happened with the opposite field gap hits? What happened with the walks, as we've been talking about? What happened with the patience and actually making your pitcher work? Now, obviously, this is a Dodgers team. You don't pray to get into the bullpen. I think you may have some better success against guys like Yu Darvish, and they showed that they can get to Clayton Kershaw not only this year but last year as well. You know, obviously the Dodgers bullpen's on a little bit of a roll, but you shorten the game for yourself when you score early in games.
And Chris Bryant's great at that normally. Mm-hmm. Chris Bryant is great at being patient and not swinging at a bad pitch and taking a walk. And you know, is it that Zobrist hasn't been in the lineup? Because he's the best at it. He averages seeing the most pitches of any Cub at the plate.
Maybe we need the doctor from The Natural. Losing is a disease. Which we have gotten past that, like bubonic plague. All right, who's in your outfield on Tuesday night against righty Yu Darvish? I'll give you mine.
All right, go ahead.
I'm playing Schwarber. I've got him in left, and I'll go with. I will roll with Ian Happ in center, and let me think about this. And I'll go Zobrist in right. That's what I would do.
I'll go.
There's one bad defensive outfield. That's what I would do.
I'll go Schwarber in left. I'll go Jay in center and Hayward in right.
I want no part of Kyle Schwarber. I'm sorry. You know, he had a great throw. He's got a catcher's arm, but I don't want him out there. I'd like to see Ian Happ in this lineup. So I think you got to play him. I think at this point you're playing defense. So I think Hayward's got to be out there. You know, this is. It's crazy, but again, I'm going to pick. They got two tremendous center fielders, and you know, unless you want to put Hayward out there, I'm putting Zobrist out in the outfield too.
I wouldn't listen if you're going to play Hayward. I wouldn't mind him in center.
So
you want to stack, have a Schwarber and Zobrist or Happ. I wouldn't mind that. I really wouldn't.
Well, if I've got Happ, Zobrist, and Hayward in my outfield, Hayward's such a great right fielder, but he's also the best center fielder, obviously, of those three.
You'd play Happ in center in that scenario, but. Okay, these are things that Joe Maddon obviously will be thinking about on his flight back. But there's the way he talks openly about their offense right now, he's definitely trying to poke at the bear. Mm-hmm. There's something that he's somehow, some way trying to stir up with these guys as far as having better at bats.
Well, let me ask you this: you know, we talk about the outfield. What's your infield?
It's a fair question. I mean, is Javi going to be out there? I think the infield's not going to change. But I'll tell you another thing. You mentioned, you know, you're down on the outfield. I threw out there last night, Andy, you were at a wedding or whatever was going on, but I said you could move Bryant to left and play Tommy La Stella at third. I wouldn't mind a little pesky hitter like that in there right now. He's been taking walks. Every time he goes to the plate right now, he gives you a solid at bat.
That's interesting. Let's digest that for a second.
Or you could play him at second.
Mm-hmm. Let's digest. Well, I still want Baez at second, but you might have a pretty good case there. Tommy La Stella can rake. That guy can just wake up in the middle of the night, and he can hit the best pitchers in baseball. That's interesting to me, putting La Stella at third and playing Chris Bryant in a corner outfield.
I mean, he's been giving you good at-bats. Now, you're giving up a lot on defense. I don't trust Tommy at third. I don't trust him at second.
Well, I made this suggestion earlier. Wilson Contreras in left.
Right.
And Alex Avila catching.
That's another option.
Center left-handed bat,
right? You got a righty on the mound.
You got a good. You got a good pitcher that can control the run game on the mound. And, this, the guy that will pick runners off at first, keeps runners closed.
And let's talk about some positives here. Cubs did not have the advantage starting pitching in either of game one and two. They do have it in theory in game three and in game four.
Mm-hmm. Depending on who is the game four starter.
Right. Well,
depending on who you have.
They're not locked in with Elswood. Is that, is that not a thing?
Well, I mean, Arrieta, I think, was the guy they were talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I got
to look back to the NLDS and tell me if you feel pretty comfortable with Jake Arrieta.
I get it, but. Hopefully, Jake Arrieta will be the Jake Arrieta. I get
and what if they're down
3-0? You still got to go Arrieta.
Okay.
That's interesting. If you're down 3-0, are you bringing back Q? I don't think you are. They'll still let Arrieta
just
go.
Just throwing it out there. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they would either, but, you know.
Well, they'll have a short leash, though.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be...
Alex Wood throwing for L.A. One is what? His first 10, his first 11 decisions this year? It's a tough spot.
Steve Garvey replied to me on Twitter, for the record.
Good.
What did he say?
He said Dodgers in six, 2017 World Series.
Really? Hey, tell Garvey he's a hypocritic.
What do you want me to say? I'm in a brawl with Steve Garvey on Twitter.
Ask him how a guy who went to Michigan State can be so uncool. Ask him about how he criticized people that have infidelities, and then he ran into the problem himself.
I'm telling him to call the show. That's what I'm doing.
Please do.
Call the show.
Because I've had the opportunity to meet the Garve.
Call the show, 312-981-7200 at WGN Radio. Let's discuss.
Hope we can get through.
Screen that call extra hard.
Hey, there are tons of people on the line. I'll prove it to you. I don't know how Ken in Bucktown made it through to the show. What's up, Ken? We're trying to get Steve Garvey on the line, pal.
Good. I'll put in my 2 cents talking to that guy who raises his fist when he hits that homer off of us in the 84 playoffs.
I like you already, Ken.
Yeah, well, I like you too, Harry. You know, I like all three of you guys. I agree with everything you said, practically. You know, my wife told me I can't watch any more games, though, this playoff series at home anymore. She says to go to the bar and watch it with your friends after all the cussing and yelling that I did.
Who are you yelling at, Kenny?
Well, I was yelling at... you know, I was yelling at the whole team. I mean, for crying out loud, we can't hit. You know, people say, oh, well, the Cubs can't hit against good pitching. They can hit against good pitching, okay? I mean, these guys are not hitting. And I know you're talking about Baez. He hasn't gotten a hit since, you know, last postseason. But he plays such good defense. And, I mean, Brian struck out now about 8 out of the last, 11 times at bat?
100 times in a row.
Always seems that way.
Seems like, yeah. You know that? I mean, I don't know. Do you think, I just thought of one thing. I mean, they have the day off, and I know their relief pitching has been spent. Do you think maybe, you know, Edwards looks so good. Do they go with him for another inning? Do they go with Strope for another, you know, third of an inning or two-thirds of an inning? You know, stretch these guys out a little bit longer? I mean, what do you guys think about that?
You know, my first thought about those two guys is probably not to extend those guys. I think the guy that could be extended, and I know we got off to a rough start, is Rondon. He's a guy that's been able to pitch multiple innings. But again, you're walking dangerous. And the guy that's really messing things up that we're not really talking about
is Montgomery. Yeah.
I mean, as good as this guy was a year ago, is as bad as he is this year. And he's just completely inconsistent, which he fears his fastball for some reason all of a sudden. I don't get it.
And Theo and Jed have made some spectacular trades. They have made some trades. Montgomery last year was a great trade.
Absolutely.
By those guys.
But what about this year? You're not playing Avila, and Justin Wilson is not even on your second round
Justin
playoff roster.
Justin Wilson was brought here with the idea that he would be the setup man.
Mm-hmm. And maybe
the
closer.
Wade Davis would go next year, and that Justin Wilson would become the closer. And now you're thinking they have to re-sign Wade Davis, or Carl Edwards Jr. is going to be the closer.
No, boy. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's the truth, and that's the position that they find themselves in right now.
The Justin Wilson thing is a huge deal. I mean, that was the guy they targeted.
Yeah, and it was a great trade,
and it made sense, and it just hasn't worked out, at least to this point. Avila was great down the stretch. He helped him a ton, especially when Contreras.
Which is why I'm kind of puzzled why he hasn't played a little bit.
And Candelario was never going to play here because he plays two positions, third and first. They're occupied.
He's not going. Then those guys aren't going anywhere.
Right. All right. Let's take our final timeout. 312-981-7200. Perhaps Steve Garvey will call the show.
He won't call the show.
Bring it on.
He's all talk, no action.
He's with somebody's wife, maybe.
Oh, my God. That's
allegedly. Don't even know the guy.
It's aggressive. 720 WGN.
Offensively, we've kind of been stifled. We're pretty fortunate to be in this position right now based on the number of runs we scored over the last week. So we just have to do a better job at the plate.
All right, let me ask a question. That's Joe Maddon.
Oh, my God.
Wrap it up. What is this tune?
Tuesday is gone. Leonard Skinner.
We should play Voices Carry by Till Tuesday,
yes. Amy Mann.
Look at you.
It's all going down at Wrigley, 8 o'clock first pitch Tuesday night.
I can't believe you came out with Skinner.
Where's Ruby Tuesday?
Ruby Tuesday would be a fine choice.
Who can put a name on you?
Yeah, she would never say where she came from.
No way.
Wouldn't be prudent. Who's the best manager in the history of the Chicago Cubs?
It's pretty obvious, Herm Frank. It's Joe Maddon.
It's Joe Maddon.
Right.
Annie Mazur?
Sure. I'll go along with
that. Okay. So, I'm seeing a lot of angst everywhere.
Well, there should be some angst.
And there should be. And I agree. But the point is that let us just take one deep breath. And they're in the NLCS for the third straight year. He's been guiding the ship. And it's fair to, like, argue, criticize, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, when I see stuff, and I shouldn't pay this much attention to social media, I hate Joe Maddon. No, just slow down. The guy, he brought you a World Series. This is an unprecedented run for the Cubs. Give Joe Maddon his due, and then you can, and at the same time, you don't have to agree with everything he does. That's all I'm saying.
The people that are in the best marriages I know have moments where they want to, you know.
That's right.
Leave their spouse, but I mean, you don't. Joe Maddon has made some SMH moves with the bullpen, and you just got to figure that he changed the culture of this team. One of the things he changed was they have this uncanny ability to not let the negative bother them, and they find a way to win. They come through at the end.
My only issue at this point is the differing styles of managing from the regular season to the postseason.
It's way different. Wait, well, I mean, everybody changes in the postseason.
And it's a copycat thing because they saw what Tito Francona did last year with Andrew Miller. And it's bring in this flame-throwing guy who could be a closer, bring him in the fifth inning because your pitcher is not doing well, your starter is not doing well, and just pitch him until he can't pitch anymore. But, you know, the Cubs don't have a guy like that now. But now what we're talking about is the use of these starters in postseason games. And I'll go all the way back to 2003. Because I remember taking calls on this station, why isn't Matt Clement up? Why isn't Carlos Zambrano up? Okay, you're seeing why they're not up because they're creatures of they're starting pitchers for a reason.
No.
I don't agree with bringing them in these games. I do not agree with it.
1981, the Expos bring in Steve Rogers, the best pitcher in baseball. He's a starter, and he got beat in the ninth inning by the Dodgers,
mm-hmm.
and you shouldn't have brought him in there. But Madison Bumgarner was fantastic when they brought him in.
Yeah, there's certain guys. Josh Beckett was able to do it, unfortunately.
It was tonight. I'll say it. Today's my birthday. I was at the Cubs game, Game 7, NLCS, 2003, on this night.
That's why I brought Kerry it up,
Wood hit a home run, and they got a 97-year-old manager in the Marlins bullpen, Jack McKeon, who they couldn't find his teeth that night. So they finally found his teeth, and he said, Beckett, Penny. And Dusty Baker, choking on his toothpick, says, Dave Veras.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, you should bring in guys that are used to coming out of the pen.
Game 7, I'll give you. Game 7, I'm going to give you. Game 2 of the NLCS, I'm not going to give you with John Lackey.
All right, well, hold on a second.
And John Lackey's not Madison Bumgarner.
Well, that's why I'm saying it. I'm not going to do it.
We owe Harry an apology. He told us yesterday. At least he told me yesterday.
No, I don't care.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy
birthday, dear Harry.
It's like Michael Bublé.
Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Thank you. But I had to sit there that night.
I did too.
I never weigh myself at night. I always weigh myself in the morning. You're obviously at the lowest weight in the morning. And that night, after the Cubs lost, I hit 7 different bars in Wrigleyville, went home and thought, how could I be more depressed? I know. I'll weigh myself.
Glutton.
I remember...
Kelly went in a home run!
He did hit a home
run.
They were down 3-0. They were up 5-3.
Listen, I had a double case of beer in section 228. And
were you vending or drinking?
Yes, I was vending.
And drinking.
And drinking. I was in 240 when Miguel Cabrera hit the 3-run shot, and people were screaming for me. I'm like, do not talk to me. Do not talk to me.
222, 240. Keep going. Haven't gotten my way yet.
Yeah, so we were... and then I was sitting there with Ken from Bucktown, who just called in, when the World Series shirt strolled by on the concourse after the ball game. Hope they don't fire me that I didn't leave the ballpark promptly as a vendor back in 2003.
I wonder what third world country got those shirts.
You know, some deserving people.
But I've got 100 pounds.
No call from Garvey, by the way.
No call from Garvey. The point is here, team, we're not. That is in the past. There is a flag at Wrigley Field that says 2016 World Series champions. This is a tall task, but we will be back here Tuesday night, probably at midnight, with Patty Vasquez, too, who will start her show at 11, and we hopefully will be talking about a win. Romano, producing the show.
Great job by Joe Romano.
Thank you for giving us the forum to speak tonight. We were hoping to be talking about a win. It didn't go that way, but never say die.
Little setback.
Never say
die. Speed bump.
Blip in the road.
Speed bump
in the road.
It doesn't feel like they can do it, but maybe they can do it. I think that's where I'm at least. Feels like a very, very, very tall mountain to climb. But I'll be there Tuesday and be hoping for the best. All right, so we'll wrap up the show here, get you into news. Thanks for listening, texting, calling, staying so positive as the Cubs are about to just have another amazing October moment. Starts Tuesday night. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Andy, Harry, and I will see you Tuesday night. Carl and Lisa ready to go. It is midnight with your news. Here's Roger Badish.